This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? That was a very subdued. Let's try it one more time. What's up, everybody? That's good. It feels so strange having church in the evening versus Sunday morning because, you know, it's just a different routine. So, like, when the sun is just different, like, it's, you know, it's hidden different, it just feels so weird. Anybody else feel weird coming to church later? Okay, good. We're glad you're here. Weird or not, we're glad you're here. We're so glad that you guys have joined us. I cannot think of a better thing to do, a better way to celebrate the birth of Jesus than in God's house with God's people, right? I think it's one of the most important things that we can do is to gather and celebrate. Like, because for us as followers of Jesus, the Christian story, Christianity, is this is the origin, right? This is where it kind of all begins. Now, obviously, things happen up until that point that led to this, but this is kind of where it all begins. It's the point in history that we look back to and say, that changed everything. So I think it's something that we should absolutely celebrate. And I'm so glad you guys are here with us to do just that, to celebrate it. So what we're going to do tonight, I promise I'll be quick because I know, you know, everybody's busy this time of the year. We've got family and festivities and all of that stuff to go do. I hope you guys got me a present. Right? I'm so over presents, just so we're clear. Not receiving them. I'm so over, like, the hustle and the bustle. And it's my fault. Like, I do this to myself. I'm a last-minute shopper. Anybody else? Any last-minute shoppers? How many of you were shopping today? You're looking at him. I'm the idiot, right? So I was going to get some stuff today to finish things up. So it's kind of chaotic, and I know we've got a lot of stuff to do and things going on. So we'll move through this quickly. But what I wanted to do tonight, I wanted to take just a moment and talk about a phrase that we hear so often around Christmas time, and we should. And it's actually part of one of the songs that we sing. Like, if you haven't heard this song, I don't know what rock you've been living under. It's the O Holy Night. In fact, we already sang it, right? And so there's a phrase in that song, and it says, a thrill of hope, a thrill of hope. And what I think happens sometimes is there's supposed to be some cohesiveness in that phrase, right? There's not a disconnect. There's not a break. It says it's a thrill of hope. And what I think happens sometimes is we allow a disconnect to take place where hope isn't so much of a thrill, but hope is a last resort. Hope is, it's kind of relegated to a position of desperation. And it's like, this is the best that we have to offer. Well, we were hoping that things would work out, or I hoped this, or I hoped that. And we lose this idea that hope is supposed to be thrilling, right? Okay. I thought that was really good. You guys, not so much. But it's okay, because I'm going to give you some more information to think about, and we'll all hopefully come to this same conclusion. So I wanted to spend some time to talk about that tonight, a thrill of hope, a thrill of hope. Because it's one of those things, again, we've probably read that, you've probably read that, or sang that so many times. And I think what happens sometimes is we read things or say things, and we don't think about kind of the context. We don't think about the depth of a statement like that, that hope is supposed to be thrilling. So let's start by defining what hope is. My first point for the night is, I was hoping you would ask. I was hoping, yeah, that's good. Good morning, right? Good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is. It's morning somewhere. So I was hoping you would ask, and we're going to define what this is. I was hoping you would ask me what hope is so I can tell you what hope is. So let's talk about what hope is. I think it's, again, because of the way that words, you guys know how we use words differently. I think some people use words one way, like old people use words one way, young people use the same word differently, right? It's the way that we do things. And I think in terms of the way that we as followers of Jesus, the way that we use the term hope in Christianity is vastly different than the way the word hope is used in the world. Like we said before, it's kind of relegated to this place of last resorts and desperation. And it's kind of like we use hope as like just our last possible option when every other option has been exhausted. I've heard it said like this, and I thought this was so good. It says that optimism, which is what I think we use the word hope as, is like we are optimistic, we are hoping. I think that's how the word hope is used in the world. Optimism is psychological. Hope is theological. right? Optimism is something that, like, in our heads, we can really, we want things to work out, and we, you know, we'll put our best foot forward and see what happens. And so it's a psychological phenomenon. It's something that we can kind of, again, we're hoping things will work out as we think through all of the possibilities. But hope is theological. Hope is so much more than just something that we think. Hope is so much more than something that, we're kind of wanting to happen. Hope is actually a person. Hope is not just a 50-50 proposition, which optimism is. It's like flipping a coin, right? So optimism is this 50-50 proposition. It's like it's head or tails. We flip, and you know, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. Whereas hope, because it's so much more powerful, it's so much more significant, it's more like the old, did you ever trick anybody? Heads I win, tails you lose. You remember that? So either way, you win, right? Heads I win, tails you lose. And so they're like, okay. And then they're like, wait a minute. And that's kind of, to me, what hope is. Hope is you win either way. Like, even if it doesn't work out here and now, ultimately, we understand that things are going to work out. Things long-term are going to work out. And hope is so much more than just what we think, and it's so much more than just kind of what we see right in front of us. So, in fact, the word hope in the Bible is used in kind of the best, probably the most well-known, one of the most well-known uses of the word hope is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, but these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And it says the greatest of these is love. The word hope is the Greek word elpis, E-L-P-I-S, elpis. And this is what it means. I thought this was such a rich definition. It says that hope is a confident expectation. It's this, like, I really believe that this is going to work out. I really believe that this is true. I really believe that this is the path. I really, really believe. You met somebody that's got some confidence, right? They just walk a little different, like the shoulders back, head up, proud, loud, right? Confidence is it's a game changer. So hope is a confident expectation, or it also means to anticipate with pleasure. Anticipate with pleasure, which is where we kind of start to understand that hope is thrilling. It's a thrill of hope. It's something that helps us not just to sustain and not just to get by, but it helps us to get by with this, again, kind of enthusiasm and excitement about the things that are before us. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. And I wanted to stop there because it's just kind of, again, to make this connection. So Jesus is not just our Savior, although he is, but he is also our hope. And hope is not just, again, like, I want things to work out. Like, maybe they will, maybe they won't. It's not just, here's a coin toss, heads or tails. It's not just, maybe this will work out or maybe it won't. Hope is a person, and that person is Jesus. So we're not just putting our hope in chance. We're putting our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's such a more powerful place to be when we start to understand that hope is that. Hope is not, again, and I understand the way we use words and why we use words the way we use words, but we're wrong when we use hope like this, because hope is not, it's not a gamble. Hope is a person, and that person is Jesus. It's not just that Jesus brought hope, although he did, right? That was part of him coming to the earth, being born on the earth, was to bring hope, because we talked about last week, they had been in this period of time called the 400 years of silence, and there was a lot of despair, and there was a lot of hopelessness. So Jesus definitely brought hope, but it's also that he was hope. Right, it's one thing. It's kind of like us. Like, we can show love, we can bring love, but not very many of us are love. Right? It's like if you are love, like, you're the kind of people that I need to be around because I need some more love. Right? And so we struggle with a lot of these things because we're finite and we're human and we aren't fully love. But God is fully love. God is also fully hope. So he brings hope. It's not just that he brings hope, but it's also that he is hope. He's the one that we can have confidence in despite the volatility of our circumstances, right? It's, again, this confidence, this belief that it's going to work out, not because of our ability, not because necessarily that our circumstances are going to be good, but that we know that God is good. So even if our circumstances aren't the best, we still serve a God that is good, and he'll see us through whatever it is that we go through. He is this sure thing that we can depend on. So that's what hope is. It's this confident expectation. It's, what's the last one? To anticipate with pleasure. That's what it means to hope. Not just like, hope that works out for you, right? Like most people's dating relationships, hope that works out for you, right? And that's probably less than 50-50, if we're being honest, right? So it's so much more than that. It's so much more powerful than that. It is a confident expectation or to anticipate with pleasure. So let's talk about hope and kind of how this whole thing started. Again, the Christmas story, the origin for us is the Christmas story. So let's talk about how it started. We know up to this point, we had our live nativity, and didn't the kids look just adorable? Now, that was a very weak applause for our children. That's much, much better. Now, y'all know how this stuff works with kids, right? It's organized chaos, right? You can set some parameters, and you can hope that things are going to work out. But inevitably, there's going to be some chaos. But it was such a good thing. So we have the nativity scene, and so Jesus is born, and we kind of have that whole setup. So let's look past that just a few. I'm not exactly sure. There doesn't give us a time stamp on this. I would imagine a couple of weeks further down the line in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 32, and it says this. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, so at this point, Joseph and Mary had Jesus. Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. Now, this is one thing that we've done differently as a church. People are like, do you guys do baby dedications? If you read the Old Testament, when you dedicated a baby, you left him there for 18 years. So no, we are not doing, I do not want your kid for 18 years. We ain't doing it. So go somewhere else and dedicate him and then come back over here. So that's one of the things. There were some laws and things that they had to keep, some of these sacrificial requirements. And so one of the things is they consecrated Jesus to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Okay, so that's where we're at. So Jesus is being brought by Mary and Joseph into the temple to fulfill kind of the sacrificial ritual requirements of Jewish people at the time. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. Simeon was a good man. Simeon was a man who was waiting for the Messiah to come. He was waiting for the anointed one. He was waiting for the hope of Israel to arrive. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, so Jesus is coming to the temple, right? Simeon, a good man, a man that has been told by God that he will see the Messiah, is told to go into the temple. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, now, the first thing that stands out about this to me is like church hasn't changed much. So you bring in a newborn, everybody's going to get, they're going to grab your kids. Like that's just kind of the way it goes. If you don't want them to, just like, you know, kick or do whatever. Put a sign on him says, don't touch my child. I don't know what the solution is, but people just grab kids. So Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Again, Jesus is kind of this, it's a derivative of the word Joshua, the name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. So I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Simeon had been waiting on hope. He had been waiting for the Messiah to come, which was this fulfillment, this expectation. It's the fulfillment of the expectation that something was going to come and something was going to change. Someone was going to come and someone was going to change. So he saw that. And at that point, Simeon, I love his response. He's like, I can die now. Like, I'm good. I've seen everything that I've needed to see. So go ahead and take me home. So Simeon was thrilled by hope. And so this is what stands out about this to me that's very interesting. Simeon was thrilled by hope. Sadly, a lot of people saw the same thing that Simeon saw, but they were not thrilled by hope. A lot of people, even today, like they see the same things, but they're not thrilled by hope. And again, I think it's because of this misunderstanding, for one, of what hope actually is. It's true, just like it says in the Gospel of John, that light shines in the darkness, but darkness doesn't always comprehend the light. It doesn't understand. But here's what does not change. Just because light is shining and darkness does not comprehend the light, that does not mean that the light does not continue to shine. The light will continue to shine regardless of what you're going through in life, regardless of the circumstances and the situations that you may find yourself in. The light will continue to shine. I think that there is this direct correlation between hope and light, right? In fact, we use the expression, the light at the end of the tunnel, right? It's almost like we can see it. It's far off. It's really bleak. It's hard right now, but I just believe that I see that something good is coming if I can continue to persevere. So let's make sure that we are putting our hope in the hope. It's like Simeon, again, kind of seeing the situation from the outside perspective. Simeon saw hope. He was hoping for hope. He was hoping that the Messiah would come, who is hope. So let us do the same and continue to put our hope, in the hope of the world. So let's wrap this up. That's our second point was, or I'm sorry, that was, I'm glad you asked. Oh, did I even tell you that? Yeah, that's how it started. I told you that. Just making sure. You guys, have you seen the videos or the pictures of like how it started versus how it's going, right? And some of them are pretty funny, like started well, didn't end so well. And some of them are more inspiring, like, you know, started poorly and finished well. This one started well and ended well, I think. So you don't see a lot of those, but that's what we're going with. So this is how it's going. Let's talk about some of the, to me, because I think what we have to do is it's important to understand these stories. It's important to understand, again, even terms and define all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, you have to figure out what this means to us today, how this applies to us, how does this affect my life today? And so let's talk about how hope can be applied to our lives. And I think the first thing that comes to mind when I think about hope and I think about the Christmas story is just how generous Jesus was with his hope. Again, he was hope, he brought hope, and so he was willing to share that hope with us. And in fact, he was so willing to share that with us that he wants it to be inside of us. Hope is one of those things. A lot of things in our lives grow from the outside in, right? Like to be excited about something, generally there has to be an external stimulant. Something good has to happen, and then we're happy about the good thing that happened. Hope grows from the inside out. And so once we understand what hope is, we can allow it to grow from the inside out. Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says this, "The mystery that was hidden for ages and generations, but is now revealed to his saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." God was so generous with his hope that he wanted Jesus to come inside of us to fill our lives with his hope, again, from the inside out, which is so powerful. Because if you understand that there's such a colossal difference between things happening outside that then affect the inside and things happening inside that then affect the outside. Because if you've got hope on the inside, it doesn't much matter what's going on the outside. You are unchanged. You are unflappable. Like the circumstances of your life, the seasons of your life, it doesn't change who you are because you are steady in who you are because of the hope that is in you, and that is the hope of glory. That's powerful. That's stuff that we can really latch onto. That's an application. So that's the first one. The second thing, again, as it relates to hope and how we can apply this to our life, is that hope makes everything in your life bearable. Now, I am not going to be one of the like super inspirational, like one of those guys that's just like everything is going to be awesome all the time. I'm not going to lie to you, because we all know if you buy that, you kind of deserve what you get. Can we be honest? Like if you're one of those that are so gullible that somebody could convince you that everything is supposed to be great all of the time, you kind of get what's coming to you, right? I hate to be harsh on Christmas, but whatever, you got it. But what I do know is that life has some adversity, life has some ups and downs, and life has some difficulties, and that's all part of it. In fact, so as followers of Jesus, he was referred to as the suffering servant. So if he suffered, we're probably going to do some suffering too. And hope makes all of that suffering bearable. It's like, you know what? This is hard. This is difficult. I don't really want to go through this, but I can go through this, and I'm going to make it through this because the hope that I have on the inside. Again, what's on the outside doesn't matter as much as what it is that's on the inside. There isn't anything that we cannot go through. And I would put that statement to the test in so many different ways. I've seen people, I know people personally who have gone through some of the darkest seasons of the soul that you could possibly imagine, and they continue to press on and have hope and believe that God is good, even though their circumstances don't necessarily reflect that, right? And a lot of times we have just like little struggles. And again, I know it's not fair to compare and do all of that stuff, but we have like little things that go on in our life and we act like it's calamity, right? But so hope, it's just, it changes things when hope is inside of us. It gives everything purpose. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it says this. And this is kind of a progression that I think is really important. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Okay, long setup. This is what happens. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. We glory, tribulations would be hardships, difficulties, adversities, right? So we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. It's like when you run on the treadmill, and why you would run on the treadmill, I do not know. But when you run on the treadmill, what happens when you're running on the treadmill is like that's some hardship, and that hardship produces perseverance. It produces some endurance. Like you can go longer the next time and a little longer the next time. And so that perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So let's skip the middle, as important as the middle is. Tribulation ultimately is trumped by hope, right? Tribulation is trumped by hope. The last way, so that's the second one. That one was a little bit better than you were amen in. Sometimes preachers preach better than people amen. And that one was that one. That was that. That's what had happened was, right? So the first idea is that hope is so generously given to us. The second thing is that hope is, it makes everything and every situation bearable. And then the last thing that we're going to look at, the last way this applies to us today, is really just kind of, again, the title of the message, A Thrill of Hope. It's, again, I think for some reason we allow hope to be kind of moved down into this place where it's desperation, it's last resorts, it's every other option or possibility has been exhausted, but hope is supposed to be exhilarating. It's supposed to be thrilling. And so because of Jesus, not only can we endure this life and the circumstances it brings, but we can do that with a joy that is beyond explanation. It says, it talks about joy in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. It says that there is a joy that's in you that's almost inexpressible. You cannot explain why you feel the way you feel, but you feel the way you feel, not because of what's going on the outside, but because of what's going on the inside, right? It says this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And so again, kind of the way that I think that light and hope are correlated, I think that hope and joy are also correlated. In fact, look at the verse that we find this phrase in, A Thrill of Hope. It says this, A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, right? It rejoices, it takes joy because of the hope that has come, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And being from East Texas, we should all understand yonder, right? Over yonder. Where's it at? Over yonder. Oh, yeah. And yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And so what we have to understand about this is like hope is so much more, again, than just like I think it's going to work out. I'm desperate that it's going to work out. I want it to work out, but I don't know if it will. It is a confident expectation. It's hope that gives us this ability to trust in God regardless of what we're going through. It's this hope that he will take everything that's dilapidated and falling apart. It's the God that makes all things new. It's the God that takes pain in your life and turns it into purpose. It's the God that takes hardship in your life and allows it to develop some character in you, and that character in you leads you to have more hope in him. It's, again, kind of this cycle that we go through. It's the God that takes chaos and he turns it into character. He might allow you to go through something that would cause you to mourn for the night, but he's given us hope to believe that sorrow lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning, right? So that's what we're hoping. We're not wimply, weakly waiting and hoping and like, oh man, do you guys kind of see the difference between like this weak, optimistic, like I want things to work out, and this belief that God is who he says he is, he can do what he says he can do. He's already began this process for us to see it, kind of again, the hope that entered into the world and then obviously finished the process when Jesus hung on the cross. He said, it is finished. And that is what we put our hope in, not our circumstances, not our situations, not even like ever. We love people, but we don't put our hope in people. Our hope is in God, because God does not fail. God does not disappoint. God does not let you down. And that is who we put our hope in. And that is thrilling. That is a God that can be trusted. That is a confident expectation. So I wanted to wrap up tonight. I want to do something just a little bit different. If you grew up, how many of you guys would say that you went to a more traditional church when you were younger or growing up? Yeah, a lot of people. How many of you went to a crazy chaotic church, kind of like this? There's not a lot of these, right? We're different. So we're going to do something a little bit different today. I wanted to do, again, kind of from the song, Oh Holy Night. Shelly's going to come help us out. Somebody told Shelly earlier that she looks like a disco ball. I think she looks adorable. Right. I know. Just like finish up, wrap up, bro. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to kill all the lights. We're going to do a candlelight service, but we're not using candles. We're using phones. Hey, don't blind the people in front of you. We're going to have our own version of a candlelight service at church, but we're just going to use our phones because, frankly, we don't need the fire department showing up. So we're going to kill the lights, and we're going to kill the screens, and Shelly is going to sing for us. We're all singing. Yes, everyone sing.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, appeared and the soul felt its worth, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
God, thank you so much for the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, thank you for loving us so much in spite of the fact that we are sinners who don't deserve your love and we don't deserve this demonstration of grace. God, that you sent Jesus to the earth to be born as he was born in the circumstances in which he was born. God, ultimately, to pay the price, to pay the sacrifice, be the sacrifice for our sins. Thank you for this baby that changed the world. God, we have hope. God, we're not just hoping that things work out in the way that the word gets used. God, we have a confident expectation. God, we anticipate with zeal and enthusiasm that you are who you say you are, that you will do what you said you will do, that you are a God that can be trusted, that you are a God who at the power of your word created and formed the world and all that exists. God, we trust you. We believe in you. We hope in you. Jesus, we love you. It's in your incredible name we pray, and everybody say, amen.